campaign 2021 on WTOP this Virginia election eve. Both the Republican and Democratic candidates for governor joined us this afternoon here on WTOP. Republican Glenn Youngkin on his Democratic opponent and education.
The beginnings of critical race theory in Virginia schools started during his administration. There's all kinds of training memos that have been put out.
And Democrat Terry McAuliffe.
This race has always been the same. This race has not moved, really, in the last 4 or 5 months. It's always been a 1-3 point race. That's where it is today.
Kyle Condit is managing editor of Sabato's Crystal Ball at UVA. He joined Dimitri to preview the super tight governor's race, starting with those comments by McAuliffe about polling.
The campaigns have their own internal polling and tracking that sometimes we hear about and sometimes we don't. My understanding is that, at least in, you know, if you take a look at the polling sort of an aggregate, that I think the public polling has moved toward Youngkin over the last few weeks of the campaign. I think the campaigns themselves probably view the race as being a little more stable. But I think this has been a pretty close a competitive race, at least since August, when Joe Biden's approval rating took a tumble, which probably had some sort of impact on this race and the political environment across the country. Just given how nationalized our elections are, you know, the approval rating of the incumbent president does matter in terms of setting the tone for the electoral environment.
Biden a drag on McAuliffe. What else has been going on? You know, you hear about the issue of education, but it's a little more nuanced than that. There are some people who believe in Donald Trump and believe in Glenn Youngkin who believe that critical race theory is taught in Virginia schools. It's my understanding it is not actually taught.
Yeah, certainly Glenn Youngkin's been talking a lot about education. I think he sees that as a potent message to try to claw back a little bit of the kind of lapsed Republican vote, particularly in Northern Virginia. I don't necessarily know if the education focus has had a huge impact in terms of moving the numbers. I guess on one hand, you could say even if it hasn't moved the numbers, Youngkin would rather be talking about education than having to talk about other national issues. And I think that Youngkin has done a decent job of sort of controlling the narrative in that way. And I think Terry McAuliffe also kind of helped Youngkin along a little bit in that regard in his much publicized comments at the last debate talking about parental input in schools. That has been a big issue in the race. And of course, you know, different people can interpret and have different feelings about what's being taught in schools or what they think is being taught in schools, et cetera. All I can say is that Youngkin has certainly talked about it a lot. And so they certainly see it as something that they can make some hay on.
Just looking at the state overall, we've thought that Virginia was a blue state for a while now. How can we explain the fact that McAuliffe, that he could very well lose tomorrow night?
First of all, even though you could argue that, you know, races all down the ballot are nationalized these days, gubernatorial races are a little bit less nationalized. And so maybe there's a little bit more room for movement and for crossover for voters. Also, the turnout is lower, particularly in this sort of off year cycle that, you know, Virginia has their state elections in odd numbered years. And many states have those elections in midterm years or even in presidential years. Even if Youngkin wins, I don't think that necessarily means that Virginia is now a purple state again. I think what it would mean is that, one, the environment is bad for Democrats, but also that, you know, these gubernatorial races may be a little bit less tethered to the national trends than federal races are. You know, if this were a Senate race, maybe we'd be having a different conversation, although given the environment, Republicans might be able to win that kind of race too. It doesn't necessarily mean that Virginia is all of a sudden going to be, you know, a real swing state in the 2024 presidential. I'd still expect it to vote more Democratic than the nation as it has in the past few cycles, and certainly in much more so in 2020. But, you know, it's just a different electorate that shows up and probably will be an electorate that's better for Youngkin than a presidential year one. How much better is the question?
Can we talk about last minute maneuvers? We have a tele-rally by former President Trump. And then, from what I understand, an effort to turn out the black vote on the Democratic side. Could any of these final hour maneuvers make a difference?
You know, look, I mean, if the race ends up being really, really close, you know, a lot of the polls have come in at either, you know, McAuliffe plus one or a tie, or, you know, there have been a few that have shown Youngkin with small leads. Then, you know, if you're only talking about the difference of thousands or tens of thousands of votes, then last minute maneuvers can matter. I think Youngkin has sort of tried to make sure that he can keep the Trump base engaged without fully embracing Trump, which I think he's been able to do a decent job of. Of course, the results themselves will help tell us how that works out. But I mean, certainly, I think if Youngkin wanted Trump to come to the state to rally for him, I'm sure Trump would. But Youngkin clearly doesn't want that because he doesn't want to play into McAuliffe's messaging that, you know, that Youngkin is basically Trump 2.0. So, you know, there also were arguments today in the Supreme Court about abortion in Texas, you know, again, the Democrats would love for this race to be more about abortion, but I don't necessarily see it as sort of driving the narrative. You know, it'd be a one thing if, you know, the Supreme Court had, you know, ruled against Roe v. Wade or something, you know, a few months ago, and then that's something that would maybe be a real big deal. And it just doesn't seem to have registered as much, I think, as Democrats maybe would like.
Final question. Do you see the House of Delegates in Richmond flipping Republican?
Look, I mean, I think if you believe that the governor's race is really close, and I certainly do, that means that the other statewides are probably close, lieutenant governor and attorney general, and also the state House of Delegates. And so, you know, it's possible that these races are close enough that maybe you have something of a split decision. You know, maybe one side wins the House and some of the statewides, the other side wins the governorship, or, you know, some combination. There have been some polls that have shown Democrats broadly doing a little bit better in the other races than McAuliffe is doing. I don't know if that will actually see that on election day. And you'd probably expect these races to be pretty joined at the hip. But it's close enough that there could be a split outcome. But yeah, certainly the House of Delegates is up for grabs as well. You know, the one thing that prevents the Republicans from the possibility of winning unified control of the state government is that, of course, the state Senate is not on the ballot this year. And the Democrats have a 21-19 edge in that chamber.
Kyle Tongat is a managing editor of Sabatow's Crystal Ball at UVA.
Again, we remind you to be with us about 24 hours from now for full coverage of the Virginia governor's race and all else that's happening electorally in the Old Dominion.